On today's episode of the Natty Boys Podcast, we lightly roast Hefe over his receding hairline, talk Browns episode 3 of Hard Knocks, George Iloka being released from the Bengals, and Woody totally pops while giving his hot take on Urban Meyer and the situation in Columbus. Our fantasy draft this week is of things we're looking forward to during the football season. Enjoy the show.
You're listening to the Natty Boys Podcast, presented by Mill Iron Sports.
Are you tired of losing your hair, watching it go down the drain every morning in the shower? Are you too stubborn to shave your head like co-host Mac? Well, you might be Hefe, and you could use 4Hymns. Go to 4Hymns.com/natty. That's 4Hymns.com/natty. Use promo code BOYS, and they've even got wiener pills for you. So,
wow, sounds like a win-win for Hefe.
Wiener pills.
So this is going to be a visual meme. We're gonna do this real quick. So picture the African American fella pointing to his head as if like, you know, hey, like think about it.
Yeah.
You don't have to watch your hair go down the drain if your gut's so big that you can't see the drain.
Again, we're all fat and I can
see. We're not talking about you,
dick. I was gonna say that's my approach.
Jesus.
I don't have enough hair for it to go down to the drain.
We are sensitive Sallys today.
I have a question. The African American guy that's pointing to his forehead, is that LeVar Burton?
I always thought it was Eddie Murphy.
It's not Eddie Murphy.
I know that. It just looks like Eddie Murphy from like his early years on when he did
it's a solid gift,
Eddie Murphy Raw.
I thought it was the Reading Rainbow guy, but I don't know.
It might be.
I'm probably wrong. I like that meme though.
Tired of your mustache not connecting to your beard? Would you?
I can't help it, dude. It grows in all white trashy right here.
Look at mine, man.
Yeah.
The same way. This is great radio.
Tired of living outside of the state. Air. A lot of dead air or dead hair?
No, this is oh, dead airs. That doesn't really work. Yeah.
Welcome to the Natty Boys.
Yeah, it's a little contentious today.
Today is August.
Cafe's a little fired up.
Yeah.
Max fired up.
I'm not fired.
Woody's fired up. DB doesn't have any
very zen
fire in him, so he's just kind of always just sort of just a little bit dead inside.
My Mamba mentality died when Kobe did.
He's 40 years old today, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Happy birthday,
40
Kobe.
Years young.
Well, yesterday.
Yesterday was, yeah.
He bit the bullet and shaving his head. Just saying.
Yep.
Yeah, it's because he needed to look different because he butt fucked a chick.
Whoa.
Wow. Okay. Listen.
I'm pretty sure that's not illegal.
Yeah.
Well, it depends on what state you're
in. Some states. Yeah.
Colorado.
State
looks
out on
me.
And that's about that time she took it. Whatever. So hung up on me.
Also,
it is Friday.
So.
Yeah. He is. So it is Friday again. It is August 24th, and Tyrod Taylor might be dead. Tyrod Taylor might be dead.
Tyrod Taylor.
Hard Knocks star. I've never seen a team awarded a successful season in the preseason the way that the Browns have. I feel like everybody's just going nuts for him right now.
That was similar with last year when they went undefeated in the preseason.
That's true. Everyone thought that this was the new year.
I think it all started with the Baker Mayfield picture. Of him standing next to the Rolls Royce, shirtless with a tiger. I mean,
I've never so badly wanted to see a tiger eat somebody before.
That would have been awesome. That would have been sweet. But yeah, that's what a lot of people are starting to say too. Like, oh, I thought this whole thing was different than Johnny Manziel.
Yeah.
This is out of the Johnny Manziel playbook.
Right.
Yeah.
I will say I think Baker's more talented than
Johnny. Oh, yeah, I think so too. Yeah,
probably.
And I think he does slightly less coke.
I was going to say he hasn't stolen any prescription pads from a medical facility. I don't know that he actually did that. He probably just
yet.
Yeah, but no, they were as we're watching the games tonight unfold. Tyrod Taylor had a scary injury. Sounds like he might be okay. Looked like he broke his wrist. Looked like his wrist was gonna, his hand was just gonna fall off of his arm the way it looked.
Yeah,
it was pretty bad.
But he bounced back. It must be something in the water in Cleveland. Those life threatening injuries that LeBron always used to get, and he just bounced right back and he'd show back up later in the game. Apparently, Terod's got, maybe it's Mike's special water or whatever they call it. Mike's secret stuff. It's Mike's secret stuff. Yeah,
I thought that the water caught on fire in Cleveland.
It did.
What it does?
Okay,
that's why it was. That's why it's so potent in healing powers.
Yeah. Ah, that makes sense.
Yep. But so yeah, I mean that's where we're at with the Browns right now. As far as their game with the Eagles, I think they're winning 2-0 right now. So it's a thriller on Fox.
Barmer.
Yeah. So.
So they're pretty much on par with Super Bowl champs. So. You're here first. Them. Browns are your Super Bowl. XLIII.
I think it's 53 this year.
53?
Yeah, that's what I said.
Yeah. But I wasn't sure if it's 52 or 53. Either way.
Listen, you just say XL, then you start just trail off with the eyes, and then people think, that sounds right.
Sounds legit.
Yep. XLIII. You kind of run them all together.
Yeah, you can't tell where they. Maybe you can't tell where it stopped.
Until next year. Say until next year, you get that prick. It's actually, it's XLIV.
Yeah.
And say, well.
Nerd.
Yeah. So. This is America. We speak American. It's 45. 55?
Yep.
Oh. I didn't think we'd start a feud with the Romans tonight, but here we are. It's all right.
Wait, no, XL.
They deserve it. The way they treat little boys.
It'll be LIV next year.
LIV?
So yeah, for 30. X there. No.
Man.
It'll be LIV.
I'm like 10 years behind. All right, let's get moving.
Poor thing.
Roman numerals are...
Something we're not behind on is Hard Knocks. So we're all caught up on that.
Yeah.
Third episode just aired. It started out with a teaser, even though everybody already knew what happened with Jarvis Landry getting in a fight in practice.
I didn't know.
It's kind of a dick.
I don't get on Twitter for spoilers.
Yeah, Jarvis is kind of a dick.
Yeah, so... You kind of like to see the fire, and you see, like, you know, there's always training camp fights, there's always practice fights, and it's always something that they highlight on Hard Knocks when it happens on whoever they're covering. And you like to see that fire in the guys, but, like, the play that it happened on, there was no reason for Jarvis to get up and throw the ball at the guy. It's not like he did anything. He didn't even trip him up. I think Jarvis kind of tripped over himself, and then the guy tripped over Jarvis, and... He gets up and fires a ball at his head, and they start going at it.
Awesome. He was just waiting for an opportunity to do something.
Yeah, I mean, they had been jawing back and forth, and I wonder how much of that was not even like the whole, you know, them going back and forth all practice boiling over. And I think a lot of it was probably putting on a show for the cameras because it's Hard Knocks, too. So
Jarvis has that testosterone.
God,
that was ridiculous.
Problem.
It's like, why would you, even if he was doing that on purpose, why would you try to sound dumb?
Yeah.
Like that was really bad.
The DB couldn't say testosterone. That was poor.
It's not our DB.
Yeah, DBs can't talk right.
Correct.
Yeah, it was pretty weird. He didn't really cause him to fall over. It was kind of a little over-the-top reaction. Carl Nassib, too, yelling at Haley.
I hate Carl Nassib so much. Like, he's so annoying.
That was, again, one of those things they should have cut. Like, he was like... telling him to stay away from the quarterback, and Nassib's just yelling back at his coach. Like, and where's Hugh going, hey, don't yell at your coach.
Yeah, that wasn't, I don't think,
I think it was be funny.
Yelling at him. He was fucking with him. I mean, I don't think there was any ill intent.
It's probably because
it wasn't like a.
It's probably because I don't like him either. I think he's a douche.
He is.
He caught more shit in this episode about his investment stuff.
Yeah.
Because more people were calling him out. Like,
he said he made 22%, bro.
Yeah. Yeah, maybe.
Or 28, 22, whatever it was.
$100.
22.
Yeah.
He's obnoxious. I can't wait for him to just go away.
I don't like Brogan either.
I was going to say, I wanted to make an official statement. I'm officially out on Brogan Roback.
Yeah.
Yep.
Brogan
at first,
his,
I thought
his
he was quirky and kind
his
of
His Instagram
funny.
Girl.
His.
Oh, she's so ugly.
His butterfly stuff. He is like the typical douchebag, like college douchebag.
Yeah. It's weird. Oh, yeah. You can almost tell he's from Northern Ohio.
He's just trying too hard.
Yeah. I think it's official. I think we are a Drew Stanton podcast. So, of course.
I was Terod until his wrist broke. Hey, allegedly.
I still like Terod. I liked him in Buffalo. I'll like him
me too.
Here, too.
I'm Team Baker.
You would be.
No, I'm not.
I do like the offensive line coach.
Yeah, Bob Wiley is...
I hope my stomach never moves when I talk like
unbelievable.
That.
Unbelievable. The fucking Maserati. Who could have seen that one coming?
Yeah, I thought that was a joke. When he said Maserati, I was like, there's no way. And then he gets out of it, and I was like, what?
Yeah. Well,
yeah. And if you line up every single player and every single person on that staff and said, one of these people drives a Maserati, pick who it is, he would be the very last person I pick.
Yeah.
He's apparently, like, stuck in the 90s, too. Like, he made Ferris Bueller references. He was talking about zoo footage from when we were in elementary school. Like, that was the most, you know, horrible zoo footage he was. Like, it was like,
He was wearing, like, a fishing hat that you would get at a truck stop. The one episode that was, like, I forget what it said, but it was just basically, like, bait. It was like one of those weird sayings with a fish hook on it. He is just a fat, most interesting man in the world. I don't know. I know DB doesn't get on Twitter now because of the spoilers, but, did you guys see Joe Thomas tweeting about him a little bit?
Yeah.
Saying that he's actually a private pilot and during the off season, he flies his own plane whenever he's going somewhere.
Seriously?
Yeah. Nice. Like, can you imagine that guy? He's a private pilot.
He has to probably has to be a cargo plane just to carry.
He's driving one of those big yellow DHL jets that.
He
has to fly himself because he can't fly more than one person with his weight.
Yeah. Right.
So, what did you guys think about the Dez visit in Cleveland? I mean, we obviously knew that it happened because that was one spoiler I was aware of, that Dez was going to visit and not sign. But
So. I have never been a big Dez Bryant guy. I don't really like his attitude and the way he carries himself. But you know, from what I saw on Hard Knocks, I kind of felt like I wanted Dez to land somewhere and to do well, because he had a really positive attitude about everything. He was he was introducing himself. He was being pretty professional, and obviously that's all. Again, that could be all for the cameras too. But just from what I saw of Dez, I kind of was coming around on him a little bit. So I hope things work out for him, that he doesn't end up in Cleveland for his sake.
I had this written down. I feel like Dez went to Cleveland with absolute zero intention of signing with the Browns.
I agree.
This was 100% a play to show that he can be a good teammate, that he can be excited about playing, and it was an exposure thing. He's going to sign somewhere else, and it's going to be because a team saw this. The Patriots cut Kenny Britt. Like, it could. I wouldn't mind seeing that, just because I feel like he could be the Trojan horse in New England. He could be the one that takes them down from the inside.
I do. I think he's going to be a locker room cancer. I think.
I feel like if anywhere could get him in line and get him to play up to his potential that he's shown, it would be New England. I don't want to see him teaming up with Tom Brady. Yeah. Look what they did. And obviously, Randy Moss is a much, much better receiver than Dez will ever be. But, you know, Randy Moss is on the end of his career. And then when he goes to New England, he has almost a career year. So I think Dez could kind of have that same thing teaming up with Brady and Belichick.
And Moss was one of those guys that was also labeled as a locker room liability until he got to New England, because Belichick, for whatever reason, has a way of shutting guys up. Look what Ocho Cinco did there. I mean, you kind of forget that he was a Patriot for a year, but you didn't hear shit from him the entire time he was on that team. Part of it was because he wasn't. Though. Yeah, exactly. Part of it was
he's too busy learning his routes.
Yeah. But no, I agree. I think if anywhere is going to kind of get him in line, it's going to be New England. So that would be the last place I want to see him ending up. I want to see him end up in Pittsburgh, because that would be a shit show.
Yeah.
Him and Antonio Brown fighting for the ball.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
And if Le'Veon Bell ever shows up, he's still not there, right?
I don't think so.
No.
I agree with Mac. I think it was all just to get his name out there, and it just didn't have an authentic feel to it. It felt forced. The whole conversation with him and Hugh in the coach's room felt forced.
Hugh reminds me of that guy. I don't know. Well, go ahead. What?
Just laughing about Hugh.
Oh, Hugh reminds me of the guys that when there were recruiters out of college that would try to get you to sit down at them at Panera Bread with them for an hour to talk about an opportunity.
Yes.
Like, and you look it up online, you realize it's a pyramid scheme or some sort of sales scheme.
Yeah.
Like, that is the vibe I get from Hugh. Like, when they were sitting at that little
like
round
a car
table
salesman.
He's like, I feel comfortable with you. I've never really, like, was the first time knowing you, and I already feel like a good back and forth.
Yeah.
You could just, it just had that very, like, cheesy, like, slimy feel to it. And I don't think Hugh's a slimy guy. Like, I don't, I would trust Hugh as a human being. But as a coach. Yeah, as a coach, it's like he knows this ship is sinking, and he's just trying to get as many names on board so maybe he can, you know, salvage
a little bit of face. What do you guys want me to do?
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I agree. It's it just doesn't, the whole series so far has just had an unauthentic feel to it. We've talked about that every week so far. It feels like they're forcing characters, they're trying to make storylines. And
to be fair, I feel like they do that every year.
No, I agree.
It's gotten worse, but I think it seems like, I think it's getting worse cuz a lot of the players, they think, "Oh, this is going to be my year to be that guy." Whereas it happened organically the first couple of years.
Yeah.
And
yeah, I don't think you'll ever capture that organic, you know, those organic moments ever again. I think it's going to be people, you know, playing things up, exaggerating things, and just basically putting on a show for the cameras. And I agree. I did kind of have the same thought as you did, Mac, as, you know, Dez Bryant just going there to kind of put on a good face so he could, it's almost an audition to go somewhere else. I don't think he went to the Browns to get a job. I think he went to Hard Knocks to get a job. So he would have been wherever Hard Knocks was, I think.
Yep.
That's how it would have worked out.
I agree. But speaking of putting on a show, how about Brad Paisley showing up for no one really having any interest in talking to him?
Yeah, that was one of the most awkward things ever.
Cringeworthy.
He's one of the last people, and no disrespect to Brad Paisley. I mean, I'm Going to Miss Her was my jam 15 years ago, but... He does not look
his
or sound
speech.
Like he belongs anywhere near a football field. Yeah.
So let's go out and win it for 12-year-old me.
Yeah.
How many songs do you think of his, like, did that Hugh Jackson knew before, you know, before he showed up at camp? Because Hugh introduced him as one of the greatest country singers around. So I don't listen to country music. I couldn't name a single Brad Paisley song before you just said that one, Whit. Like, I know I've heard that song before, but I couldn't tell you a Brad Paisley song right now.
I think
he's
the last
still one
I heard,
of the biggest acts, but he doesn't have, like, as far as I know, I don't think he has, like,
I think
a whole
Mud
lot
on
of
the
new
Tires
stuff.
Is the last one I remember coming out.
But
and that was a while ago.
But yeah, he's still, I think he's still one of the biggest, like, draws, like, when they're on the road, but I don't think, as far as the biggest country music star at the time, I don't think he's even on, he's not scratching the surface there anymore. I could be wrong, I don't know. The biggest telling thing, the biggest tell to me that he's not necessarily an all-in Browns fan and just maybe one of those, like, oh, I know who the main two or three guys were, was not even knowing who Joel Bitonio was. Like, he's the offensive lineman, the left or right guard?
I don't know.
I can't remember. But he's, like their guy. He's, like, their new Joe Thomas as far as, like, the best offensive lineman they have.
Yeah.
And it's the fact that he just was like, oh, what's your name? Like,
you
should probably know. Like, I would know if, you know, Billy Price showed up and I just, like, shook his hand. I wouldn't even need to see his number on his jersey. I'd know what Billy Price looked like.
Yeah. Well, he's got that recognizable big bald head.
Yeah, that's true.
Forehands.com.
That says
I don't know if I would recognize Cordy Glenn, but I bet I could guess who he was based on the size of him. Just because Cordy Glenn, like, I haven't seen him a whole lot of.
Yeah.
Like, but yeah, but like, if it's a staple of your offensive line, you're a super fan of, you think you might be able to, you know, point him out, or at least not have to ask him what his name is.
Yeah. Well, I just loved how he talked about, which I didn't know this. I don't know if it's true or not, but he said he's been, like, a lifelong Browns fan. And he was like, you know, I've been a fan since Brian Sipe. And I guarantee you not a single person on that team knows who Brian Sipe is, because none of them were alive when he was playing. So
I had no idea who Brian Sipe was.
I don't know who that is.
Yeah.
Some old Browns quarterback.
He's the professor from Harry Potter.
Kozar?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, it's been a weird series so far. ups and downs. They're always getting yelled at. I like Kajust. I don't know about you guys.
He's okay. He's fine by me.
He's growing on me.
I like how they were telling him great play when literally all they did was fell on the ball.
Yeah.
Like someone else forced that fumble. Like,
they were very impressed by small things.
Yeah.
And they still can't get the details right. They have fucking penalties all over the place in that Bills game.
Did you hear the? Did you hear that was like 13 penalties for 141 yards?
Yeah, that's ridiculous. God.
Even tonight, they marched the ball down the field running it against the Eagles, got into a first and goal situation, and threw the ball four times.
It's preseason.
You're trying to work on your goal line passing plays, but still, like that first play, that first series of the, or first scoring opportunity of the game, just punched the ball in. And it's a series Tyrod got hurt on. Tyrod. Jesus. Yep. It's a series Tyrod got hurt on.
Yeah, that kind of shook me a little bit.
What's his middle name that
Dolly?
Yeah, I was going to say, it sounded like Diablo, but it was not Diablo.
Diala?
Diablo. Diala not going to work here anymore. Diala not going to be able to wipe his ass with his right hand anymore.
Hmm.
Or no, it's his left. Damn it. Well, maybe he's a left wiper.
I don't think he's just left-handed.
One Wipe Charlie's from Dollar Shave Club.
We haven't really brought it up, but it did happen this week with the Bengals. George Iloka ended up signing. You know, he got cut. Waived, whatever you want to call it, and ended up signing with Minnesota, reuniting with Zimmer.
Yep.
So there's been a lot of talk about why he was cut. You know, I think the biggest reason was cap space, you know, clearing up the cap hit that he would have been against us, $6 million or so. But that really makes me think that they have a lot of confidence in our rookie safety.
Yeah. I mean, and they were saying that Jesse Bates honestly was probably going to start. You don't pay a guy $6 million to sit the bench. Now, that being said, they need to release a lot more people because Michael Johnson's in a crowded room right now. His cap space hit is about $6 million. I don't think this is the end of, you know, veteran cuts. And for Bengals fans, especially people that are against a lot of what they're doing, this should be exciting because this is what they haven't been able to do in the past. That's why Adam Jones stuck on the roster for as long as he did, because it was he's a veteran guy and a leader. It's like, no, he's not the best guy at the position. Get rid of him. It's actually kind of refreshing. And I was upset at first because you hear the name and it's like, man, he's played so many games for him. And he is a good leader in the locker room, but he just wasn't, you know, doing what they're trying to do, which is turn the ball over. So,
well, it's all because he was kneeling during the national anthem.
They'd like you to believe that.
It's so crazy that everything has to be about something anymore like that. It can't just be because he just didn't do his job.
I mean, Iloka is a good player, so I mean,
yeah, he's a great player.
You kind of question it a little bit as to why he got cut.
Oh no, definitely.
And, I mean, could it have been because Mike Brown hasn't really said his thoughts on the anthem, which makes me think that someone told him, "Hey, don't talk about this." Go ahead.
Yeah, his daughter.
I think I think Mike Brown's thoughts on the anthem are probably pretty clear. Even if he hasn't been out on it, I think he's probably in the same line as like the, you know, Jerry Jones type.
Right.
But
he's never done anything for that type of reason though.
Right. Exactly. Like, yeah. He's never been a big guy to talk about that. Yeah. I think that's probably his personal thoughts on it at least. But yeah, I agree. I don't really think that went into the decision to get rid of Iloka.
No.
I just think it was a business decision. I know that's cliche to say, but I think that's what it came down to. They thought that Bates gave them enough of maybe he might not be on the same level as Iloka as far as talent goes, but he's younger and he can work up into that, and he's cheaper at this point too. Sure. So they're going to save some money that they can spend elsewhere, and you know, hopefully grow Bates to be the kind of the future of that position. And I think they, you know, Bates fits the what I think he's a free safety, right?
Yeah.
So I think he's more of a true free safety, whereas Iloka was more of a kind of strong safety, free safety hybrid that didn't really fit into one role or the other well. So I think they can kind of make better use of Bates in that position too.
And I think the other thing that people miss, you know, because they're so quick to say, well, it's an anthem thing, is the Bengals have been trying to replace Ioka since the offseason. So, mm-hmm. I mean, they've brought in two, you know.
Yeah, because it was anthem stamped.
they've attempted to get two or three different safeties. And then they went out and drafted the guy that, you know, happened to be there. They didn't think they were going to get Jesse Bates. So, I think as soon as they did that, it was the writing was on the wall. It was up to him to win his position in camp, and he just didn't do it.
Yep.
Yeah.
And that's why I think Michael Johnson could be one of those guys that he might make the final cut, but then if something happens where I don't know if we'd have anyone really set to return off the pup, like
Burfict comes back and they, because they have to hold a roster spot. I don't know
how that works with him.
I don't think they get an extra roster spot.
I don't think so either. But he's one of those guys that they seem to really value his veteran leadership in the locker room as far as the other young defensive linemen.
Yeah.
And I think he's that vocal leader that you don't really get out of Dunlap or Gino. Which Dunlap and Gino are probably the main two reasons for the Iloka cut and eventually Michael Johnson cut. So, because they need to pay them. And
Yeah, they need to lock both of them up for sure for long term, or else it's you're starting over again. You're trying to find your two guys that you've always wanted on the D-line.
Yep.
And you got guys like Preston Brown. I think he signed a 1-year deal, and they've been really impressed with him.
Yeah, you would.
They might need something to extend him. I know that everyone's saying, well, they're already under the cap, and they've got like fourth most cap space on the NFL, but they've got a lot of contracts that they need money for at the end of the season.
I mean, I know AJ Green's a good guy, but we're gonna have to pay him eventually. Like all he of says, those contracts are coming up. We're gonna have to pay. I mean, we're gonna have to pay.
AJ said he's got all the money he needs. I know his agent or the union aren't wanting to hear that, but I don't see him asking for Julio Jones money. I think he's going to be content with probably signing extensions pretty on board or pretty on the same, I guess, trajectory salary-wise that he's already making. But I don't know. I don't see him being one of those guys that's asking for $15 million a year or whatever. I don't even know what a receiver makes nowadays.
I don't know.
Antonio Brown thinks he should make like 30.
Yeah, what's 30 million a year? Jesus.
So, Witty, do you have any comments on the Urban Meyer stuff?
Are you sorry that we're in this situation?
Yeah. I don't know. I have a lot to say on it, and I don't want to spend too much time on it right now.
That's fine.
I feel like I don't necessarily think that Urban deserved more of a punishment than he got. I think what he got was probably, if anything, a little bit more than he should have gotten. Because if you look at the actual report, the biggest thing that they focused on was the fact that he didn't follow proper reporting protocol when it came to the 2015 incident where Zach Smith was getting investigated. So the Title IX coordinator, forget her name, I guess, found out about it first and went to Gene Smith, and then Gene Smith told Urban about it. So in Urban's contract, I guess he's supposed to notify the athletic director, and he's supposed to notify compliance. Now, apparently compliance is different than the Title IX coordinator because I don't know what. I guess domestic violence, though, falls under him having to report to the Title IX coordinator. So I guess the compliance thing might be different, but I guess he thought that since those people told him, that was enough. But I guess in the report it said even if they told him, he was still supposed to formally notify them in writing. So basically, even though Gene Smith told Urban Meyer, they expected Urban Meyer to in writing tell Gene Smith about it. So the
NCAA is never confusing, though.
Well, it's not the NCAA. It's I don't think there's any indication that he broke any NCAA rules or infractions. I don't think he broke any laws.
Buckeye
It's all just his contract.
Buckeye policies.
It is. It comes down to the actual stipulations within his contract. And so, technically he didn't follow that. So I can agree with why they're punishing him. I get why they're doing it. But I don't necessarily think that it was as egregious as people are making it out to be. Everybody's trying to make it out to be that, you know, he was trying to cover up this big abuse scandal and that he's enabling, you know, domestic violence, which I don't necessarily believe that. I think he thought they were acting in the best interest, him and Gene Smith both. I mean, they're following the, you know, the 2015 police investigation, and ultimately no charges stemmed from that. So I think they thought, okay, that's it, that's done. And according to the report, I mean, Meyer had several conversations with Zach Smith where he said, you know, if you actually, you know, lay your hands on her, you're fired. I mean, he tried to at least put up a front that he has zero tolerance for that. So, you know, I kind of believe that. I think that they did think they were acting in their best interest. I think he legitimately didn't realize that because, or even though Gene Smith told him that he still had to formally notify Gene Smith too. So I think that was more just lack of understanding of the contract. So I buy into that part. They also focus kind of heavily on the whole media day thing, which I think is bullshit, because who gives a fuck if he's being truthful to the media or not? And I know the stipulation in his contract is he has to represent the university in a positive way, and he can't do anything that, you know, tarnishes his reputation or the school's reputation. So I think they kind of spun that as him being dishonest. You know, it paints him and the university in a bad light, so that's why I think they're focusing on that. So those two things combined are kind of why they decided to, to get rid of him. But that being said, I feel a lot less good. I don't know how to say it better, but I don't feel as good as I did before about Urban Meyer. I kind of lost some respect for him, not because of the whole, lying or any of that, but just the fact that he kept Zach Smith on the on the staff for that long anyway. The fact that he even brought him to Ohio State.
Yeah.
I mean, there were issues before he came to Ohio State, right. Obviously.
It's like and the strip clubs was, and stuff they were saying he was having issues with. And the morality clause,
is what was weird to me, like the do not use porn on company property tablets. I was like, Jesus.
Meyer put that in because of the fact that that Zach Smith went to a strip club when he was supposed to be on a recruiting trip. He went with another Ohio State staffer and at least one or two high school coaches. And so Meyer found out about that, and that's when he put in that morality clause into all of the other coaches' contracts, you know. But there were so many instances like that where it was like, okay, well, if you do this again, you're going to get fired. I mean, there was that. There was him not showing up to other recruiting visits. Mm-hmm. There was him there was a whole DUI thing, which I guess Meyer supposedly didn't know about that, which I, you know, that may or may not be true. But there were so many instances along the way where they could have just cut ties with him. They would have been perfectly justified in doing it. I think if Meyer really was true to his, all he preaches about character and, you know, respect to women and all of that, I think he would have gotten rid of Zach Smith a long time ago. I think he should have, and that's why, you know, in my eyes, I think I lost a little bit for him there. But I don't think any of that's grounds for him losing his job. I don't, you know, I didn't want to see him lose his job. I still don't want to see him lose his job. I think him staying on staff is the correct decision. But I also, I didn't like the way he kind of portrayed himself at that press conference.
Yeah, that was bad.
and to be fair to him, you know, he's pissed off because he didn't feel like he did anything wrong. He didn't want to get suspended. And they kind of just, you know, they came up with the decision and they kind of rushed everyone out there to have this press conference where he probably didn't have that much time to prepare. I mean, you could tell that him, the university president and Gene Smith were all on different pages, and it was that whole thing was just kind of a shit show. But just the way, you know, every single question he got asked, Meyer had to ask, you know, can you repeat that?
Yeah.
You know, what was that question again? That was really odd to see because he's never like that in press conferences. So you could tell his head wasn't really there.
Yeah.
And just, you know, again, I alluded to the fact on Twitter that it seemed like he was saying that he acknowledged that it was his responsibility while doing everything he could to make it sound like, you know, this isn't my fault. I didn't know. Like, and again, he may legitimately have not have known, but the way he kind of leaned on that as a crutch, I didn't like that. And, you know, I don't want to be a hypocrite. I mean, one of the big things with the whole Patino thing was when he said he didn't know about it, you know, from my perspective, it was, well, you should have known because you're the head coach. That's your job. I think that, I mean, that applies to Meyer too. So whether he did or didn't know, I mean, he's got to, and that responsibility falls on him regardless. So,
and at some point, you got to own it like that, you know? Like,
yeah, exactly.
He's still pushing it off like, you know, it wasn't my fault. At some point, you got to take responsibility, even if you don't feel like you're the responsible party.
Yeah, so I don't feel good about really anything in this situation. I think Zach Smith's a piece of shit. I don't completely know.
His attorney's a piece of work.
Oh, yeah, God, man. His response to that, you know, whether or not what Courtney Smith is alleging is true, I mean, that's that's not for us to decide. That's not for us to determine. Only really her and Zach know that. But right after the punishment got announced, his attorney comes out and says, yeah, this is simply a case of, you know, Zach married the wrong woman or whatever. Jesus. And now because of that, you know, it's bad on the Ohio State. They're paying for it. Urban's paying for it. And it's like, Jesus, dude, like, have some fucking
just
common
sleep
sense.
On it. Yeah. Sleep on that statement.
And there's been, like, people on Twitter, of course, there's always idiots running their mouth, talking about how, like, Courtney Smith is crazy and stuff, and it's like, you are not in this situation. You don't know what's going on. You're throwing this woman under the bus because of something that the dude's lawyer said, and you have no firsthand knowledge of what's going on at all, and they're just talking because they want Urban, you know, not suspended or not fired.
Right.
And I think honestly, like, Urban didn't look good at the press conference. He looked like one of the telltale signs that people always say, and it's not obviously, you know, black and white every time, but one of the telltale signs of somebody lying or not really being truthful is lack of eye contact, which I don't really know. I wasn't paying close attention to that. But, and then repeating the question or asking to have their question repeated.
Yeah.
And it was like, I didn't think he was lying. I just don't think he was trying. He didn't want to say anything that made it sound like he was remorseful for the entire situation. When he said, "I'm sorry, we're in this situation," that was bad. But I think the university looks so much worse here than Urban.
Yeah,
like I saw someone say, and I know they can't legally do this because they're a public entity, but they would have been better off just like not releasing the details of that report.
Right,
like they sounded like a parent, like making excuses for their overprivileged child.
Yeah,
like he takes a medication that sometimes causes him to forget stuff. Yeah. It's like, do you want that guy leading your? If that's true, do you want that guy leading your program?
Exactly, like, and that's one of those things. Just leave that out because that's the whole reason they brought that up was again to justify what he said
at the media day. Yeah.
Who cares? Yeah. You know, he doesn't. He's under no obligation to be truthful with the media. Like the media, the media has such a self importance, such a inflated self importance that they think everybody has to, you know, give them everything and be truthful. But they don't owe them shit. Like,
no,
he doesn't have to tell them anything. He probably shouldn't have told them anything.
And he could have said,
"We're part of the media."
Yeah.
Honestly, if he would have said, like, he should have never drawn the line in the sand saying, I don't know why someone would make up something like that.
Yeah.
But he should have never, if he wouldn't have said that and just, like, said, you know, I don't know about that. And then later on, when asked about it, say, I wasn't sure what I could say with possible legal ramifications on an open investigation.
He could have said no comment. And we're here to talk about football, and that would have been the end of it.
Yeah. Well, in the report, they talked about text messages that he was exchanging with
that
Gene
was
Smith.
Also,
and, they had some things, not the whole I don't know if you're
deleting the stuff.
Thing.
Yeah.
Not that, but they were talking about before the Big Ten media days, they were kind of him. There's like a PR guy, Gene Smith, were texting back and forth to just about how they're going to approach it, how they're going to handle it. And they kind of had a plan laid out where he was going to, you know, say they addressed it. You know, they let him go because of an aggregate of all the things that had happened. They weren't going to get into any details. You know, they weren't going to specifically mention anything. But I think they said something about, you know, acknowledging that there's a 2015 incident and the 2009 incident. And then Urban kind of just went completely off of that. And I don't know if it was just kind of being on the spot. Like, he didn't know
what to say or how to react.
But I think they said something in the report, like after the fact, they kind of said, like, hey, like, what happened there? That's not what we talked about. Yeah. So I mean, they had a plan for how to handle it, and he just didn't follow that.
Yep.
But it kind of get what you were alluding to a little bit there. It's definitely a bad look for Urban once they found out that there was this report that he may or may not know about the 2015 incident. Apparently, he had a conversation with one of the Ohio State staff members about, you know, is there a way to set up my phone so that it, you know, it removes text messages that are over a year? And then I guess he had that setting turned on when they looked at his text messages, so he didn't have anything over a year. Now, that in itself doesn't, you know, prove anything, but it certainly looks like you're trying to hide something.
Right.
Whether it's hiding something related to this, whether there's something else, you know, maybe something that could point to recruiting violations, you know, whatever it is.
Maybe he has a mistress.
Right, exactly. So maybe, and honestly, from an Ohio State fan standpoint, that'd probably be the best outcome.
Because this whole situation.
Yeah.
Like, he didn't do anything wrong, but he was banging the volleyball GA.
Yeah. So, yeah.
Kobe
so
Bryant all over just, again.
Yeah. Well, not quite that yet. But yeah, it looks bad all across, you know, the board. And I wasn't happy. I didn't like anybody on any part of this, whether it be, you know, Urban and what he did, what the university did. You know, I'm not a big fan of Brett McMurphy, not because of the fact that he brought this up to begin with, but the way he kind of was so smug about it. And, you know, he was basically beating his chest the whole way. Like, oh yeah, my report said this. And I didn't like the way he did that. I didn't like the Ohio State fans who were giving him threats. I think that was kind of bullshit. I don't think he was out to get Ohio State. I think he would have done this regardless of who it was or what the school was. But, you know, everybody thinks that he was just targeting Ohio State. I didn't like the way that the Ohio State fans looked that were showing up at the hearing or the investigation yesterday, like basically tailgating it.
Yeah.
And that's what I was going to say. Like, I know every fan base. You could literally take the smallest college in America.
Right.
And they have obnoxious fans that are going to drive you nuts. And the bigger schools have more fans. So they have a bigger number of those douchebags. And they were the same ones on Twitter that were like, Urban didn't hit her. Why is he suspended?
Right.
Then they were the ones tailgating. And they were like the most stereotypical looking, like, super fan, like, douchebags. Like, the people that get in arguments on Facebook is what they look like. Yeah. And they were like,
his name is Tennessee Jeff. He is from Myrtle Beach, South Carolina, and he's a Buckeyes fan. So.
Makes sense.
No idea.
But my favorite was they were going after ESPN because Brett McMurphy used to work there.
Yeah.
Brett McMurphy got laid off by ESPN last time they had all those layoffs. But they were like, ESPN's fake news. ESPN didn't report on it for like 18 hours after all this happened because they didn't want to give Brett McMurphy the credit or anything. And so that made me laugh too. I love watching that misguided anger and hate. Like, the people that are angry at ESPN and think ESPN started all this because they love Alabama.
Yeah.
It's like, this had nothing to do with ESPN. Like, you should be mad at Fox Sports as well. You should be mad at, you know, Sports Illustrated. You should be mad. Take down Mark Zuckerberg, since that's where Brett McMurphy is. I don't know how he hasn't signed on with The Athletic yet, honestly.
He's with, it's called...
weird sounding. Yeah. It's like...
But, like, he didn't come off looking great in this, too, because he kind of went back and, you know, had to change some of the things in his report after the fact because he kind of alleged too much without having evidence to support some of it. So, like I said, all across the board, I didn't like the way it looked. You know, you alluded to the Ohio State fans on Twitter, you know, that were either going at him or saying that, you know, Urban didn't hit her. You know, there are the people that were saying, you know, well, apparently now Urban Meyer is responsible for, you know, everybody and they have to watch everything that he does. And, you know, don't you worry about reporting something because Urban Meyer has to keep a track of you or, you know, all that, you know, bullshit. You know, but at the same time, people on the other side of it were kind of pissing me off, too, because they were coming out saying, well, if Urban doesn't get suspended or doesn't get fired, it means that, you know, Ohio State values winning more than domestic violence or keeping women safe, which is bullshit because, I don't know, people were just trying to make it out that, you know, he's this bad guy that was covering up this big domestic violence scandal. Which I don't think it's that. I think it was just he mishandled the situation. He thought he was acting in his best interest. There was never any, I guess, immediate evidence that there was domestic violence and that he was aware of. At least that's what he says. So, I don't know. People just wanted to spin things the way they wanted to spin things. And, again, I don't think anybody on any side looks good in it. And then I kind of just, you know, I say I can't wait for the season to start so we can get past this. I know, you know, it's going to follow along the whole season and probably in several seasons, probably until Meyer's gone, basically. But I just want to get to football to focus on that because I'm sick of hearing about it. I'm sick of talking about it.
Well, that's what I'm looking forward to. Looking forward to real football.
Yes.
Yes.
Me too. I know I just said I wasn't going to spend a lot of time talking about that. And then
Well, that was only like a 13-minute rant, so you're good.
You actually killed some time there. That helped.
I don't think we needed to kill time.
We didn't. It's all right. It was good to hear your thoughts on the issues. But like we just mentioned, we're all looking forward to football starting back up, and that is what our fantasy draft is of tonight. It's the things we're looking forward to with football starting back up. So I'm going to go first. I have the first pick, and the number one thing that I'm looking forward to is Kobe Bryant. Now, you might think that I'm talking about the dude that just had his birthday, but you would be incorrect. I am talking about the Cincinnati Bearcats wide receiver named Kobe Bryant.
Do we know when his birthday is?
It might be August 23rd also. But
I really hope it is. Just
that
wait a minute.
Funny.
Kobe's birthday is on the 23rd, and he wasn't number 23?
Nope, 823.
That would have been.
But
I guess the 8 makes sense.
The Bearcats' first game is against UCLA, and they do have a wide receiver named Kobe Bryant, so it's going to be really hard for me to not buy that jersey. I don't know what number he is, but he spells it C-O-B-Y. But first game for the Bearcats is against UCLA September 1st, which is coming up next weekend.
Ooh,
so I'm
last year.
Really looking forward to that.
He was a safety last year, so I don't know what he is this year.
He's wide out now.
I meant number-wise.
Oh, gotcha.
Because he was 25 last year.
Yeah.
This year he's number 7. And his birthday is...
Don't let me down.
It's not listed here. Well, DB's looking forward to the Kobe Bryant that doesn't exist.
We never could find his birthday. Hefe, you got the second pick.
I have the second pick, and I am looking forward to what I always look forward to every football season, and that is the Browns coming back to reality, and their fans getting smacked in the face with reality, because the Browns are going to suck again this year. So I used to always enjoy that up at OU, and I still enjoy that even though we're not at OU anymore.
You're going to look like such an idiot when they win 6 games.
No, I'm not. They're still not going to win enough.
That's a million percent more than they won last year.
It would. I don't think they're going to win 6 games, though.
Can't divide by 0.
That being said, if they start 1-0, I will be very happy.
I see what you did there.
Because they play the Steelers.
Join the bandwagon. Oh,
gotcha. I'll hop right on that bandwagon. We all would if they beat the Steelers.
We're 100% on the Baker train for week 1.
To Rod starting. See.
Not if he breaks his wrist again.
Again.
Yeah, he already did it once tonight.
Last night. Yep, Browns turmoil. That's what I'm excited for.
Mac, what are you looking forward to?
I'm looking forward to hearing about everyone's fantasy football teams.
Oh, that's a good one.
Yeah, that's fun on Twitter.
Absolutely hate that, especially when someone comes into work and be like, oh, I had so-and-so on this game, but I was rooting against this. Because of this, and it's like, I don't really care.
I'm in a league with a flex that allows 2 quarterbacks. Who should be the second quarterback that I pick up?
If I'm in the league with you, it's fun to bounce back and forth and listen to horror stories about the league or who you thought.
Is it fun?
I mean, if it affects you.
It's a little better, I guess. I compare it to hearing about someone's dream. I don't fucking care. Mm-hmm. What you dreamt about.
Dennis Reynolds. I don't want to hear about your dreams.
I had that take way before Dennis.
Did you?
Yeah, I did. Dreams are bullshit, and I don't give a shit what you dreamt about.
Oh, DB doesn't care about your hopes and dreams.
Nope. Dreams!
So, my first pick of things I'm looking forward to about the football season is... I kind of alluded to this a little bit in my Urban Meyer rant, is just all of the rational, level-headed, civil conversations on social media about anything sports related or football related, because that's one thing that football fans are really great at, is having engaging discussions on social media without being biased or personally attacking people. So
very civilized.
I look forward to that. Yeah, it's. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think football Twitter is probably one of the most civilized places on the internet, really. So I'm looking forward to that. A lot of mild takes and a lot of just people getting along and really seeing things from other people's perspectives.
It's really not reactionary at all. Just
no.
Yeah.
No.
That's good.
Yep. And then bring it back around to the second round. This one, it's not, you know, it doesn't take effect at the beginning of the football season. You're usually a few weeks into it before we really get to experience this, but it's really a refreshing kind of, you know, a refreshing experience, something I look forward to every football season, and that's hockey season.
Yeah.
So
it's close.
I have much higher hopes for the hockey team than I do the football team at this point.
I agree. As long as Panarin stops hanging out with all those Russians down in Tampa.
Right.
Which, I'm not sure how that's not tampering in some way. I mean...
Tampa ring.
There you go. Huh?
30 for 30.
Huh?
That's the new 30 for 30, tampering.
I don't know if they're really going to care too much about our, you know, our stud Russian that ends up going somewhere else because Tampa's a lot cooler than Columbus. But
Columbus is pretty cool.
But it's not Tampa. They got good strip clubs in Tampa.
Ooh, don't take Zach Smith there.
All right, my second pick. So I already got my fantasy football. I enjoy going to Kroger in the morning on Sunday football mornings. With nothing but shorts and a hoodie on, and it's nice and cold, and it doesn't matter how cold out it is. I'm fat, so I don't like wearing a lot of clothes, and I feel like the Sunday morning trips to the grocery store right before you're gearing up for the football games, buying stuff for all my chili ingredients and snacks and stuff, I feel like that's one of the few times that it's acceptable to rock the shorts, and people might not think so because they give you weird looks when it's cold out and you're walking around and in your gym shorts, but if you get your Bengals hoodie on, it kind of levels things out there for you.
It's a big time fat guy that move that I pull all the time.
So yeah, I do that all the time. It's not necessarily just on game days, but I would argue that that's almost one of the worst times to go is that Sunday morning because it's so fucking packed.
Yeah,
I go really early. Like I usually go pretty early on.
I go while people are at church.
Yeah, I go at like
in church.
You heathen.
I was going to say, exactly. Mine's usually like between 7 and 9 is the window I'm going for.
I'm a big late Friday night guy.
Late Friday night's routine. Nice. I like Saturday. Saturday night.
What the fuck is wrong with you?
Saturday night's nice, man.
Saturday night's all right for a fight?
Mm-hmm.
Saturday.
Go. My second pick... we may see our first rule change in the middle of the year with the hitting that's been going on. So I'm looking forward to them having to reevaluate that when there's 5 billion penalties in the first, like, 3 weeks of football and people aren't watching. So
yeah, I have that on my list, too. I'm interested to see how that plays out this year.
I feel like whenever there's rule changes like this in the preseason, they always throw a lot more flags than they actually throw during the regular season.
That's true. It's
to try and get the teams used to that being called, and then they'll probably lay off a little bit once the regular season comes. So I feel like this happens every time that there's a major rule change like this, we see this in the preseason.
Yeah. Some of them have just been so bad.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you're not wrong about that.
Yeah, this could potentially be one of those rules that kind of ruins football.
March 29th.
Boom.
Wow.
I was like, what?
Okay.
So, I was like, what's that got to do with what we're talking about?
I guess Mac finally found Kobe's birthday, Kobe Bryant's birthday for the UC Bearcats.
Happy belated birthday, Kobe Bryant.
So Kobe was my first pick. And my second pick is very similar to Witt's second pick, but my second pick is LeBron James, because with football season starting up, that also means that basketball season is starting up. Late October, the Lakers will start tipping off, so I am definitely looking forward to some late-night West Coast basketball with LeBron and the Lakers now. I did have that written down before you listed the Jackets as your pick,
yeah.
Just so you know, because I was going to do Kobe Bryant and then LeBron James. It was going to be really cool, and then you fucked me. You really fucked me.
It's just such a long season, basketball. It feels like
the
playoffs.
Exact same length, idiot. All right.
But I'm just saying, it just feels like it drags and drags and drags.
That's cool. Say it about hockey, too, you bitch.
No, just basketball.
Okay.
My How about baseball.
Yeah.
Baseball is not long at all. Just basketball.
All right, DB3, pick, go.
My last pick is going to be the Jeremy Hill resurgence in Patriot Nation. He is going to have a fucking hell of a year, and all of us are going to be like, what the hell? Why do we get rid of him? Joe Mixon sucks, and he hits women. And it's just going to – Jeremy Hill is going to absolutely tear shit up in New England, and – I'm calling my shot now. I mean, it's not hard to guess, but I see it coming, and I feel it. I feel it in my boner.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I don't think that's that big of a stretch. I think that's kind of that's what the Patriots do. They take a guy like that, and then they again, like we said before, with the whole Dez Bryant thing, they find a way to get the best out of him. Whether that's Belichick and just the way he runs things, or if it's just being around that culture of winning, if it just brings it out of guys, I'm not sure what it is, but or maybe the cheating. I think the cheating probably has something to do with it.
It's got to be that.
Yeah.
Well, if you're going with Max pick, you don't trust a Belichick running back. That's just fantasy draft 101. He doesn't like one guy. He's going to spread the ball around. So that would suggest Jeremy Hill's not going to have a huge year.
You're wrong. Make your pick.
Wrong. Wrong.
I'm just excited for all day football, red zone, just sitting down and getting lost in football. Miss those days. I'm not even a huge college guy, but just Saturday, as soon as Saturday hits, just football all the way to Sunday, end of Sunday. It's just
forgetting all your problems and your crippling anxiety and your crippling.
I don't have to hear about my hair. I don't have to. My hair doesn't matter. I just keep watching football.
Well, it matters.
No. You can throw on your hat, throw on your Bengals
hat. Throw on my hat, Bengals jersey that doesn't make me look as fat.
Eat a bunch of wings.
Eat a bunch of wings, make that jersey a little bit more snug. Yep. Just get lost.
Use another jersey to wipe your mouth off with the wing sauce.
Ew.
And the blood.
My growl towel. But all day football, that's my last pick. I enjoy that. I miss that in college, too. We would have those days where we hung over, games would start, we would just watch football all day. All day, every day.
Yep.
My last pick I had, and this is funny because it's another sport, baseball. I love filling the gaps of the early football season in with the cold postseason games in baseball. I don't know what it is, and I got the vibe from the Red Sox Indians series that was on national TV the other night. It felt like a postseason game because they're two division leaders going against each other. But when it's cold, when everybody in the background is wearing their jackets or hoodies, and you can see the breath like in the air, and it just looks cold. I don't know what it is, but I just love watching those baseball games, no matter who's playing. And the playoffs just have a special vibe about them that it's nice that they fill the gaps of the football seasons. It's such a letdown when you get to Tuesday when there's no game after dealing with football from Thursday through Sunday and then one game Monday. So I know later in the season after baseball's over, they fill the gaps with some MAC games on Tuesdays and Wednesdays. But early in the year, I like having those meaningful baseball games that unfortunately the Reds are never a part of, so I couldn't use them as what I was looking forward to.
Yeah.
But no, just the postseason baseball, filling in those nights without football is always a plus when football season rolls around.
Nice.
So I had a pick, and I'll probably just save it for my honorable mentions. That was kind of similar to yours, Mac, but sort of the opposite viewpoint of it. But for my third pick, what I'm going to go with is for college football, I just can't wait for all the arguments about the fourth team that gets into the college football playoff, because that's always a fun thing, because nobody can ever agree on who that should be, and no matter who it ends up being, there's always arguments about it. When Ohio State runs the table this year and they're the first team, they're still going to have arguments saying, well, Ohio State shouldn't be in there because Urban's a cheater. Spoiler alert, that cheater is going to win the national championship this year, and he's going to teabag all of you, so suck it. I love, like I said, it kind of goes back to those level-headed civil conversations, too. just that specific argument's always one of my favorites because nobody knows what the fuck they're talking about, myself included. But yeah,
nice. All right, so for honorable mentions, Matt kind of mentioned it in his Kroger short and hoodies, but I like to make chili almost every Sunday, and that's one of the things that I'm definitely looking forward to is some good chili. I make white chicken chili also that I really enjoy, and just eating the same thing for like 12 hours a day, I love it.
And then into the work week.
The leftovers.
That was one of my honorable mentions was chili, because we do the same thing. We make a huge pot of chili on Sunday. Sometimes there's a big Saturday night game in college football. We'll make it Saturday night.
Yeah.
Or make something else. Like, we'll do like white chicken chili one of the nights, and then the regular chili the other day or something. But then having it until Wednesday, and then you're sick of it on Wednesday.
Yeah, and then throwing away a big quart of it because...
Yeah. And then you're back at it on Sunday again.
Yeah.
Yeah, we'll do that too. We don't do it every Saturday, but every once in a while, or every Sunday, but we'll do the white chicken chili is what we usually do. But we always make a ton of it, and it's just two of us eating it. So there are leftovers throughout the week, and yeah, you end up throwing half of it away because after about four or five days straight of it, it's like, all right, I might want something different here.
I'm shitting blood.
Yeah.
I had wings. That does make me shit blood, but something about wings and football. Wings, football, beer. It's just a perfect combination.
Is this a fucking B-Dubs commercial?
I say, go to BuffaloWildWings.com, promo code MelIronSports.
Just fall in general. It's like my favorite time of year. Weather's perfect. It's awesome.
To get a free bucket of rain.
Officially.
Is it really? That's the official
According to last year, the MelIron Sports 90 Bucks.
Oh, gotcha.
Year. We declared a fall on August 24th last year.
Normally, it's like September 20th.
Yeah. All the basic chicks are going to start coming out. Fall's just a good time of year.
Get your pumpkin spice, everything.
Tampon.
Ooh, what should be pumpkin spiced?
Skull.
It's a callback.
So I alluded to it in my last pick, but Mac, you say you're looking forward to the late fall baseball games. I'm looking forward to... I'll call out Reds Twitter for it because they're the ones that I see and that I follow. But the diehard baseball fans that pretend like they don't even know what football is. There's a football game on right now. I had no idea. I'm watching this meaningless, game 159 of the Reds season that they're already limited from the playoffs, and that means absolutely nothing. But I'm going to pretend like I'm going to make a point to pretend like I don't know what football is because. Because I'm a fucking Reds hardo. Like, I you could like two sports. You could like three sports.
That's what FC Cincinnati fans do, too.
I like four sports.
No, you don't. FC Cincinnati fans probably legitimately don't know what football is, though.
Burn.
It's because their dads didn't love them.
So, Hefe, why don't you tell us what you're looking forward to this weekend?
Wait, I got a couple more.
God, no, you've been skipped.
I like mid-afternoon hangovers because I'll start drinking at like 10 o'clock during the NFL Sunday when I'm lining up my fantasy team, and usually starts with a beer or two when I'm making the chili. And then next thing you know, I take a nap and I have a hangover by the afternoon games. And naps, well, that was the other thing. I like waking up. Halfway through the 4 o'clock game, I'll fall asleep when I'm as soon as the Bengals get beat.
That's pretty clutch.
And then I wake up halfway through I'll wake up like right in time for like the meaningful moments of that 4 o'clock game when the Patriots are fighting back from their 13-point deficit going into the fourth quarter or something, or
as Jeremy Hill dives into the end zone to take the lead
exactly.
For
him. Or like fumble. The meaningless
or Dez Bryant
fumble
from Tom Brady,
or the random Rams game that's on that has some sort of fantasy implications that I can't wait to tell everybody about.
Todd Gurley,
Hefe, why don't you tell us what you're looking forward to?
I don't know. It's just easy weekend, man. Nothing going on.
You think you'll get the squirts at some point?
I've got squirts right now, so
boom.
It might be an early exit for me tonight, but I don't really have anything going on. I'm just excited to kind of hang out.
That's
nothing exciting.
I see how, Let's see how long we can string this out and see if he craps himself on the podcast.
I've already had a couple scares.
What I'm looking forward to is I got two fantasy drafts this weekend, which
I can't wait to hear about your team.
I'm going to text Max separately about that after the...
We're in the same draft.
Both of them, yeah. Saturday and Sunday. So, why is the Saturday one at like 4:45? What the fuck?
Oh, I thought it was 7:45.
No, it's like 4:45, unless my Yahoo is for some reason set to like West Coast time. But I mean, we can look at it later. But yeah, that's what I'm looking forward to. What do you got?
I was gonna say the fantasy draft because I'm in one of those two, but I don't want to be an unoriginal fuck. So
that's why I went right after Hefe, because I knew that one of you guys would try and copy me.
I don't know. I'm looking forward to just ignoring some sports on social media and on the internet for a while because I'm kind of burnt out after this whole Urban Meyer thing. So I kind of think I need a break from things. So I'm probably going to spend a lot of time just not doing anything this weekend and just, getting back and enjoying life, enjoying my family.
You going to the zoo or anything?
No.
Zoo's fucking closed.
I'm going to... No.
It's Jerry Maguire.
Going to Cracker Barrel.
Anything's a zoo if you want it to be.
I'll probably see you at Cracker Barrel on Saturday.
I'm not going to Cracker Barrel anymore. I don't get a lot. Not a lot going on this weekend, but that's okay.
That is okay. Those are the best weekends sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
I'm looking forward to not doing anything because I had plans to do a lot of stuff in the yard, and conveniently, my back got all kinds of fucked up over the last night or two, so I don't know what happened.
It's spinal.
I broke my back. I don't know what's going on. I'll be walking, and the next thing you know, like, it almost feels like I can't stand up straight, so I don't know what's going on, so I'm not going to risk it with yard work, so I'm thinking I'm going to be sitting around watching a lot of, I'll probably watch the shitty college football games that are on this weekend. There's like 4 or 5 college football games, and I'll probably sit around and watch a lot of meaningless sports, and maybe, just maybe, actually play some of that Fortnite. Ooh. I know I've used that as my no jefe.
I don't trust you.
Oh, no, I wouldn't play with you. Yeah. But if I...
Mac and I are going to hit up some duos. Duos, is that what they call it?
That's right.
Is that what the kids are calling
it? We're running pairs. We're not squadding up, we're running pairs.
Soaring 50s.
But
you don't know what that means.
I haven't played that game in 2 months. Since the new season started, I haven't done any of it. I bought the...
Mac and I play all the time. We're really good at it.
I bought the Battle Pass and then did nothing with it. So I got that going for me.
It's like me in every video game. Nice. I haven't bought Madden for that reason because I know I'll play it twice and then just not touch it.
I did that with South Park. Yep. I bought the combo pack and I played it for like 2 or 3 days and I haven't touched it since.
Yep.
Did it fracture your butthole?
It did. It's poop well in a second.
All right. Well, thanks for checking out the Natty Boys podcast if you made it this far. We're way over for time, but we hope that you enjoyed the episode. Check us out at MillIronSports.com, on Facebook, MillIronSports, Twitter. We all four of us have Twitter. Witt's apparently taking a break this weekend from it. So he probably won't be tweeting, but you can at him and he'll probably respond because...
Nope.
With a depressing as fuck gif.
Yep.
Yeah. It's all going to be Mike O'Sara from... Arrested Development just walking with his head down and
then falling onto the ground.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah. All right. And I know we're over time. I think a lot of that's my fault, so I'm sorry that we're all in this situation.
Hey, that actually sounded pretty sincere. Hey, everybody. I know we had a lot of fun tonight.
The camera.
You repeat that?
Who, me or DB? Does joke. Oh. Oh, gotcha.
Trying to make light of a shitty situation.
Yeah, I was going to try to do an after-school PSA about not making fun of your friends that have male pattern baldness, but...
But fuck them.
Yep.
Fuck them.
Fix it. It looks weird.
Yeah. Fix it or kill yourself. Bye.
Thanks for listening.
See you next week.